Advent. It's really about life and its meaning. But it's hard to keep it all straight. Advent means when I go to Home Depot to buy a hammer, I now hear graceful music in the background. Advent means when I go to church, that my church is decorated basically like modern mall. Advent means that my neighbors are expending an exorbitant amount of electricity to make it look as though they have icicles hanging from the roof of their house when they live in St. Louis. And we take for a moment, we try to make a little bit of a make-believe world to give us some temporary relief from the harsh reality of life. But the harsh reality of life stays there even though we attempt to get around it or attempt to just find some joy in the moment. And thank God for all the creator moments that he gives when we can rejoice in life. But the harsh reality still remains. It does not go away. We live in a fallen, created order world. When the president went into Baghdad, we don't know exactly how his airplane landed, but we do know that when airplanes land today at Baghdad airport, they have to spiral down lest a missile hit them. And that's the harsh reality of life. We know that in Baghdad, any car could be filled with explosives because some people don't care if they get blown up in the process. And that life and death are more precarious in that part of the world than in some other parts of the world. That in Iraq there are mass graves where people have been blindfolded and killed and bulldozed. Estimated about 300,000 of them under Saddam Hussein. Why, I get upset when the police in Cincinnati bludgeon an uncooperative suspect who later dies. And rightly so. But that's only one man compared to 300,000. It is hard to comprehend. Turn up the music a little bit more. Somehow the hype of Christmas brings momentary joy, but for many, it actually brings an escalation of loneliness, a heightened despair that comes from the inherent sadness of day-to-day living juxtaposed with the seeming gleefulness of others. For families of soldiers, perhaps it's a time of fear and prayer for husbands and sons and daughters that they might survive Christmas. We Americans have a way of getting away from it all. And under the Tuscan sun, Meryl Streep didn't have much work to do. She had lots of money. She had time. She had people enjoying themselves. And when she cooked a meal, it looked just as though it came from House and Garden. And the hurt of being rejected was hardly noticed. But the harsh reality remains. We live in a fallen world. And in this world, in the ancient world, it was time to prepare for the monarch, and for the coming of the monarch and the people to have a procession. And it's hard for us to think about preparing a road because we drive in these smooth ribbons of cement and asphalt that connect the metropolitan area. But if you had a road that had dips in it simply because the rains in the desert had caused a gully, and if you had a road in which the stones had fallen and moved around and now needed to be cleared away, then it was an important thing to get ready for it. When President Bush went to Baghdad, how many jeeps and how many anti-landmine machines went over the road that he was going to drive on from the airport to wherever the troops were? I am sure it was plenty of people, and it was plenty of preparation, and it was plenty of security as you've never seen. And that's the reality. And Advent brings us back, actually, to reality. The reality that there's sin and there's destruction, and that sin is a destructive force and it can destroy anyone, including you and me. That when Scripture says your iniquities have separated you from God, it means that the people of God do not toy with sin because they know the power of it and they know the depth of it. When the Bible says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, it's talking to people like us who believe that in Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, they are standing. Remove the stones, though. Make sure that we're not living in a make-believe world. Bear fruit that befits repentance and do not say, we have Abraham for our father. We got these seminary walls to protect us. We're studying to be pastors of God. Does not compute. Remove the stones and pass through the gates. Double imperative. Make prep for the coming one. And God lets us experience just enough harsh reality in life to bring us back to our senses. Because we don't expect the harsh reality until we see it. A new transformer went in 1.5 miles down the road from where my wife and I live. In that transformer, it is a huge complex that they put in off 109. And just in front of the gate, there are pylons, cement pylons. So that no jeep or car filled with explosives can get close enough to the gate and close enough to the transformer to take it out. That's the reality of life. I don't expect an explosion in my neighborhood. I've never seen a car blow up from a landmine. I've never heard the agony of pain or noticed the smell of death. I don't expect to get a terminal illness in life. But God has His gracious way of giving us just enough harsh reality to remind us that we're just sinful, vulnerable mortals in this world. That's all we are. The exile was one of God's great blessings and tragedies of all times. It was God's way of crushing His people Israel because they weren't being real about sin and they weren't being real about life. They were not changing their behavior. They were living today just as they did yesterday. Stop bringing meaningless offerings, He says in Isaiah. Your new moon and your festival and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me, and when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. And God's talking to the people of God, not to some ragtag Assyrian nation somewhere else. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I'll hide my eyes from you. Because in this great blessing / tragedy, God punishes His own and lets godless nations thrive, and He chooses to refine rather than to turn away from His people. He chooses to chasten whom He loves, and He chooses to bring them back, and He chooses to make them strong and bold and understanding and penitent and humble and real. And when these harsh realities that God lets come into our life are almost more than we can bear, He gives us hope because He won't let us be tempted beyond what we're able to bear in life. The former head of AOL is now over in Iraq. And his main mission is the main mission that he had in Bosnia. They dig up the bones in the mass graves, and then they check to see the DNA and try to match up the DNA with living families. In that way, the families can come, reclaim the bones, and give the bones decent burial. He's doing an honorable thing and a caring thing for the people of Iraq. But where's the hope for those bones? And where's the hope for the people who are burying them and suffering the grief? And where's all the hope that needs to go in for that should be part of what is proclaimed in the midst of life and death? See, your Savior comes. Tell the daughter of Zion, He'll be called a holy people, even though you're not holy. The redeemed, brought back from death and life into hope. It is beyond the human dilemma. It is neither cognitive nor reasonable. It just depends on God's decision and God's power. And to see that future, and to stop being tied to the human experience of life, but only to be tied to God's word, only to be tied to God's hope. That's building up this highway, meditating on the word, letting it sink in deep, so that reality is not based on CNN, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It becomes bread for us human beings. He gives hope in the harsh realities, and He exhorts us to live today as though tomorrow were already happening, as though it were just a matter of time. Pass through the gates, go on. Build up the highway, it's just a matter of time. But when the Word of God lives deeply within us, it is the only true reality of life. Act as though it's only a matter of time for the arrival of the Messiah. Noah started early. He believed the Word. He built the thing before there was a drop of water, because it was as good as true. Raise a banner. Proclaim an end to all sin and sadness and suffering when the newspapers say it isn't so. For there is redemption, a coming redemption, while the world still cries out in agony. God gives power over all the ultimate circumstances of life because your Savior comes. Live as though you could see Him on the horizon. As though it were the only reality that ultimately existed. As though it were life itself. As though His love were even better than life. Prepare the road. Raise the banner. pass through the gates. See, your Savior comes. It's going to be tomorrow, but tomorrow is Jesus. And in Jesus, it's always today.